illa certainly etat this bhagavattamena by lord sankarshana nivritti renunciation dharma aviratāya dharma aviratāya and to one who has taken this religious vow tena by him sanat kumāraya anta sanat kumāra saha he cha also aha said prishtaha when inquired of Sankhyayanaya unto the great sage Sankhyayana Anga my dear Vidura Dhritaprataya unto one who has taken such a vow translation and purport by his divine grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada ki Lord Sankarsana thus spoke the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam to the great sage Sanat Kumar who had already taken the vow of renunciation Nivritti, which is said, Nivritti Dharma Abhirataya. In his turn, Sanat Kumar also, in his turn, when inquired of by Sankhyaya Muni, explained Srimad Bhagavatam as he had heard it from Sankarsan. So Sankarsan spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Sanat Kumar, and Sanat Kumar spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Sankhyaya Muni. This is the way of the parampara system. Although Sanat Kumar, the well-known great saintly Kumar, was in the perfect stage of life, still he heard the message of Srimad Bhagavatam from Lord Sankarsan. Similarly, when he was questioned by Sankhyayana Rishi, he spoke to him the same message he had heard from Lord Sankarsan. In other words, unless one hears from the proper authority, one cannot become a preacher. In devotional service, therefore, two items out of the nine, namely hearing and chanting, are most important. Without hearing nicely, one cannot preach the message of Vedic knowledge. Om ajñānate mirandhasya jñānāñjana shalākaya chakṣuvan melitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupak Kadamahyam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Ho Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavati Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurat Vishay Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpatarubhyascha krupa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. There are many devotees here who can profusely glorify Srimad Bhagavatam very nicely. So, because this verse talks about how Sankarsan gave the Srimad Bhagavatam to Sanat Kumara, and Sanat Kumar, who was a Nivritta Dharma Abhirata. he heard it, although he was already in a very stable and good position, just like our Sanat Kumar Prabhu. He is a great soul, but he is just sitting to encourage me. So in this way, Sanat Kumar also, the one of the four Kumaras, he heard from Sankarshan, and here he says, Prabhupada says here, Sanat Kumar, the well-known great saintly Kumar, was in the perfect stage of life. Still he heard the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Not that only when somebody is cursed to die in 7 days, you know, one has to go and hear Bhagavatam, you know. One can hear when one is normal also. So that is said here. And you will find the same, Narada Muni is sitting and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami. You will find Vedavyas, who is the literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord. He is also hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, for a very advanced devotee, speaking Bhagavatam and hearing Bhagavatam, there is no difference. Because sometimes when we are given an opportunity to speak, we may feel some joy which can arise from a material component also, which may arise from the joy of having heard. I saw one nice quote in a college when I went for a program. They had mentioned that it takes courage to stand up on the stage and speak. And then the second statement said, it also takes the same courage to sit down and hear. You know? So to sit down and listen also requires a lot of humility, internal submission and enthusiasm, spiritual enthu and eagerness and all that. So you will find in one of the Puranas, you will find when Bhakti Devi went to from Dravida Desh, you know, she goes to Gujarat and she comes to Maharashtra, then she goes to Vrindavan. When she goes to Vrindavan, there her two children, you know, were extremely emaciated and skinny and all the bones could be seen. Who were her two children? Jnana and Vairagya. At that time she was lamenting and Narada Muni saw her condition. Then he requested Chachish Kumaras to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, Kumaras in their dialogue with Narada, they are saying, hey Narada, you only told Vedavyas to write Srimad Bhagavatam and now why you are not giving that solution to Bhakti Mata? He is telling, no, I would like to hear from you. He is telling something like what you find Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requesting Ramananda Rai to speak. You will find Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he delights in hearing from his own devotees. So, he empowered Ramananda Rai to speak on Rasa Tattva. He empowered Sarvabhattacharya to speak on the Mukti. He empowered Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam, Sthapitam, you know, Yena Bhutale, it is said. So, he empowered Rupa Goswami to put down in writing what he shared with him and glorified him instead of himself writing everything down. So you will find the Lord delights in empowering his devotees and making them speak and becoming one of the listeners. Mahaprabhu also would hear Dhruva Charita, Prahlad Charita and all that from Srimad Bhagavatam when Gadadhar Pandit would speak and he would tell him, speak it again, again and again. He would never get tired of hearing them. So in this way, the great devotees of the Lord, if there is the opportunity given for speaking, they may speak. If there is an opportunity to hear, they will hear. Because what gives them the ecstasy is the exchange of Krishna consciousness, which is Bodhyanta Parasparam, which is said. There is no difference in sitting and listening or speaking Srimad Bhagavatam because the transaction is transcendental transaction. It's a spiritual transaction. And also, one more point Prabhupada makes here. He says that, in other words, unless one hears from the proper authority, one cannot become a preacher, he says. So the proper authority is a very important word. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in 13th chapter, 26th verse, Anye tu eva majanantaha shrutva anyebhyaha upasate. He is saying Anyetu evam ajananta. Those are ignorant sometimes. They shrutva anyabhya upasate. They hear from someone else. Because they don't know. They are ignorant. They are innocent or simple. And then te api cha tarantyeva mrityum shruti parayanaha. He is saying. Te api cha tarantyeva. Even they also cross over this ocean of middle existence. Because they are shruti parayan. They have that tendency or eagerness for hearing. Shruti parayanaha. You will find sometimes Hare Krishna devotee may go to some new place and they start staying in a colony. They rise early in the morning, they blow the conch shell, they do Mangalarti, and then they do the programs and the neighbors become interested. You know, some of the neighbors may be watching TV and learning something through the, you know, some religious series, or they may be buying some books on their own and reading, but they may not be able to understand. But when they come across some devotee like that, that inquisitiveness becomes favorable for them. They go to those people and ask them, what is this Mangalarti you are doing, what is this chanting? You will find many people, in your first visit, they will be willing to take the mala and chant. There are people like that. In fact, we are hesitant to give mala sometimes. They eagerly ask sometimes, people. So, in this way, people, sometimes Krishna says, they hear from somebody else, but that somebody else happens to be a devotee, who can be more fortunate? Is it not? If that somebody happens to be a large devotee, they will be the most fortunate. And then they can, as he says, te apicha tarantyeva, he says, mrityam shruti parayanaha. They cross over death and they go back to Godhead also. But then oftentimes, when people hear from different people, they get many times misled, which is a common experience. Because there are many people moving around who the name of religion is, whom Prabhupada calls a pseudo-religionist. They move around. And it is not at all surprising, because as long as the karma, jnana, yoga, impurities are there, and that leads to one type of pseudo-religion. You will find people with, because these all have some material motivations. Like the karmis have that propensity for possessing more and more. Similarly, the yogis have a tendency for controllership. Jnanis have a controllership, tendency for enjoyership. So, all these things have some taint. That is why they are ashanta. And when people come across them, they cannot give purely. Even after we become devotees, we can observe our own minds and hearts and see certain tendencies and leanings in our system which we have carried from millions of lifetimes. Just like when you are traveling in a train, you get some smell of some dead animal, or sometimes you get some smell of a flower garden. So the air carries the aromas. Similarly, we carry the conception from life to life. Vayuhu gandha nivashayat. So we may carry some good scripts or some bad scripts. Like some devotees might have been humble even before coming to Krishna consciousness. So when they come into the fold of Krishna consciousness, their humility becomes a great help. Some people have a nature to appreciate others. In some homes you will find the parents don't find any fault at all. They are very tender with the children. So children also come up like that. So when they bring these scripts into the fold of devotional service, that becomes a big boon for making advancement in spiritual life. On the other hand, somebody must have been a fanatic in material life. He must have been sometimes you find there are Hindutva vadis, there are some Jati vadis, there are some people. So, well, somehow they come into the fold of Krishna consciousness. Like there was one fellow who was a gunda before, hoodlum. And then he came into somehow Krishna consciousness. So, devotees were saying, hey, he's like Jagamada, he turned into a devotee. He's a third person in the group, very powerful. But then once a person becomes a devotee, one should not see the past, because seeing the past background of a devotee is considered offensive. That is correct. At the same time, the old tendencies don't go away so easily also. they may still stick on and they may appear time to time. They may re-manifest, they may revisit. So, again, if one brings up the old tendencies, then one becomes ugly again, isn't it? So, in this way, a person, any devotee, practicing devotee can observe that the cleaning the heart means the cleaning the heart of the anarthas. Maya muktasya jivasya geyo anarthas chaturvidaha hrid daurbalyam cha aparado asatrishna tatva vipramaha. In this, hriday daurbalyam, asatrishna, aparad, and tatva vibrama, four things he is saying. In this, the asatrishna means, you know, attraction for, attachment for the worldly or heavenly objects. The land or the woman or the money or the position or long duration of life or happiness on things not related to Krishna. So all these things come in that, earthly or heavenly. That is asatrishna. Not only this, even the mukti kami, siddhi kami, they all come in asatrishna only. Asat Krishna means that which is temporary, but one has thirst for the same. Krishna means thirst, hankering. Now, hankering means what? Possessing an object is not as dangerous as having hankering for the object. And that is why a stri sanghi is considered more dangerous than a stri also. Because the association with the stri is like going and embracing a tiger. But association with a stri sanghi is like a tiger covered with a cow skin. If a tiger is standing near a pond with cow skin, somebody thinks it's a cow, you go and caress the cow and the tiger will come at you. Isn't it? That is why one having hankering for opposite sex is more dangerous than, you know, one even living with husband, wife, children, family members, all practicing devotional service, they are very safe. So, that is why Trishna means thirst, hankering. That's why Krishna condemns the mithyachara savuchyate, he says. That is actually Trishna. Karmendriyana samyamyaste manasasmaran, like that. So, one should not hanker. We say that the 10th offense against the holy name says that having material desires is not a bad idea. We all have it. We, in fact, have been carrying it in this world. That's why we got sadyoni, asadyoni and all that. Karanam guna sangosya. But if somebody is working on giving up the material attachment and awakening Krishna consciousness, even though one may still have material attachments, he is not condemnable because one is in the right direction. Just like the Karmakandis are glorified over the atheists for the same reason, because they abide by the laws of the Vedic literature. It is better to be a Karmakandi attached to the sense gratification, begging it from God, than to be an atheist who is free from all material desires and completely detached. He is good for nothing. On the other hand, one having desire for sense gratification, going to God, is considered superior. But more superior is a person who is not cherishing material desires, rather one is trying to give them up by surrendering to Krishna and the path of hearing and chanting. So, in this way, the asat Krishna, one should actually lament over, or the right word to put is regret, over the hankerings that one feels for material objects in this world. And one should regret and one should try to sincerely clean up the heart. We will come to that point about the cleaning up of the heart. Then the hriday daurbalyam is considered even more dangerous than asat Krishna. Because asat Krishna is often problem of the mind, where hriday daurbalyam is problem of the heart. Like, for example, in the asat Krishna there is attraction. In hriday daurbalyam there is attachment. Attachment is more dangerous than attraction. Attraction is mental and superficial. Somebody is mental or sentimental. Now, we had a discussion once on mental, mental, sentimental, transcendental. So, somebody is mental or sentimental, that is not as dangerous as when one becomes attached. Attached means he is a gone case. He is convinced that this is what he wants to do in life. So he will be indifferent to the holy name, how the sinyata comes. Whereas when one is mental or sentimental, one is trying to chant but mind wanders and comes, wanders and comes. That is safer than one who is a determined thief, one who is convinced that I know what is what. He has no faith in Krishna, has more faith in Maya. Such a person. So, that is why in hearing of the Krishna Katha, you will find when Shukadeva Goswami was glorifying Parikshit, he was telling, Yan Nutanayasi, Ishasya. He said, Shinvanabhi Kathamuhu. At that time, the next verse he says, actually two qualifications of Parikshit that Shukadeva Goswami said. Actually, Parikshit was such a humble soul. He told Shukadeva Goswami that I am a Kshatra Bandhu. Although I am a Kshatriya, supposed to protect Brahmanas, I put a snake around the neck of a Rishi. Such is my fallen position. So he declared himself as Kshatra Bandhavaha. And then he also told him, Vayam Danyatama Aloke. He said, Guropi Kshatra Bandhava. So he said, I am extremely fortunate, O great sage, to have your association. Danya means fortunate. Danyatara means not only to see a great Vaishnava, but to hear from a Vaishnava means one is more fortunate. And Muhu Muhu means repeatedly hear from Shukadeva Goswami for 7 days, 7 nights. He said, I am Danyatama, he said. So he glorified Shukadeva Goswami and considered himself very fallen Kshatra Bandhu. On the other hand, Shukadeva Goswami glorified back Parikshit, calling him as Bhagavatottama. What are you saying? You are not a fallen soul. You are not only a Bhagavat, you are a Bhagavata Uttama. You are Uttama Bhagavat, he told him. You are a pure devotee. Your birth is glorious. Your passing away is going to be glorious. Your life is glorious. Everything about you is wonderful. Because it's all related to Krishna. Your forefathers are glorious. Also he told him, Yan Yat Nutanayasi Ishasya. I am seeing you, because you have so much enthusiasm, eagerness to hear about Krishna. This kind of eagerness is certainly a benediction of the Supreme Lord. You know, attendance in the Bhagavatam class is certainly necessary for us to advance in our devotional sentiments towards Krishna. But eagerness to attend Bhagavatam class is considered even more superior. Like one time, I remember a few of our friends, we were going to Chopari temple in the train. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was supposed to give a lecture. So one of our devotees, our train, local train somewhere in one of the stations after Dadar, when we were coming in the Western Railway, it stopped midway somewhere. So we were all watching the clock, it was becoming 8 and 8:15 and 8:20. So we were thinking we will get down the train and take a bus and go, a taxi and go. Somebody said it will be costly. Again we came back to the train only. And it seemed the train is likely to move. Then the train started moving and another station stopped again. So when it crossed 8:30, 8:40, one of the boys was practically crying. He said, now Jarada Mada is over, prayer is over, our class has started now. By the time we reached the temple, it was 9:30. And then class was over, Maharaj had to go somewhere. He said, I am winding up the class. So only one thing we heard, Granthara, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. That's the only thing we heard when we reached the temple hall. So I told that fellow, see, you have already got the fruit of hearing Bhagavatam today. You got the benefit of hearing Bhagavatam. So, and the reason is, when one has such a eagerness, entu, for hearing, and that is a very great blessing of the Supreme Lord, hearing with enthusiasm. That is why, when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see that when you hear from some new person whom you don't know, our receptivity level is very high. And when we hear from people whom we are very familiar, it may be a little low. There is one reason for that. Because we know the person, who he is, and how he speaks, how he deals, you know, and who is he, especially if he is in the same project. You have watched him. As soon as he sits on the Vyasasana, you know, Abhi Malama, who this fellow is, you know, and things like that, you know. Bada bada bakrata, you know. One may think he's speaking big things. But when somebody else comes from outside and speaks, then one may be very enthusiastic to hear, because you hear only the transcendental message which is separated from the person's personality traits, you know, his background, his activities, the ups and downs that he has gone through in his life. So those things are screened out by our foolish mind. Of course, not a foolish mind, good mind only. But what I am saying is, but our mind, so what to do when we hear from people whom we are very familiar, and especially if they are our equal, or if they are our junior, and we know all the rough seas they have undergone, rough times they have gone in their life, and we have been in the same department also, working with them closely, and many times there had been sparks flying, and if they are giving Srimad Bhagavatam, how to hear with respect? So there is a very easy way to hear with respect. So one should become a Sarabhritam, Bhagavatam says. Sarabhritam or a Saragrahi. Saragrahi means take the transcendental message from whoever speaks it. Vishadapi amritam grahyam amedyadapi kanchanam. Chanakya says, you know, from a stock of poison one can even extract amritam. Sometimes you somebody goes to a lavatory, suddenly you find the gold ring falls into the stool pit, that commode inside. If a ring has fallen, what will one do? One will put the hand and take out the gold ring. Later on you can wash your hand, but otherwise the gold will be gone under the drain. Is it not true? So similarly, somebody may, even if somebody has some bad scripts and all, they are carrying gold, something very valuable they are carrying. Imagine if a postman comes and gives you, $5 million check. You know, he may not be a rich man, but he's carrying some riches. Similarly, even a neophyte devotee speaks on Bhagavatam. A neophyte devotee is a neophyte, but he's carrying something valuable. Whatever pure message he is giving from the Srimad Bhagavatam, reading from the shloka, the purport. Some example he may say, I heard from this Maharaj, I heard from that devotee. Sometimes it may be helpful. So one can take the good side by being a Saragrahi, like that. So the respect factor is very vital for healthy taking in. Ideally speaking, one should have respect, love, faith, devotion, all these things for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. We should have faith in the sublime message. We should have faith in the person who is speaking, who is representing the Guru Parampara. And we should have faith in the Supreme Lord. In fact, you will find the Srimad Bhagavatam sometimes is spoken for hours together. Why? If the audience is internally alert and the speaker is also internally alert, when the speaker is speaking on a particular theme, the audience can relate with the message in their own personal lives. And that is how there was no flip charts, you know, there was no markers, you know, there were no PPTs in the Vedic times, because people were internally alert. So those who are internally alert can picturize, can think for themselves, can relate in their personal life, they can contemplate, they can reflect, they can go, they can probe very deep in their heart. And that gives them purification of heart and upliftment of the mind. All these things happen naturally. So the Bhagavatam message, if we cannot hear with love, actually we should have love for the message, and love for the scriptures which give the message, and love for the person whose beautiful form is seen as we flip through the pages. Vicharasi Uru Svanaha. Bhagavatam says, when we read through the verses of Bhagavatam, one can see the picture of Krishna in the pages of Bhagavatam. Just like that South Indian Brahmana saw Krishna and Arjuna, Bhakta Vatsala Krishna, when he was flipping through the pages of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. In fact, by studying the scripture, one will fall in love with Krishna. But how does one fall in love with Krishna? By understanding that scripture is a love letter of Krishna. He says, you know, Maya Mukta, he says, Maya Mukta Jivaranahi Swata Krishna Gyan. He says, you know, Atayeva Kripai Kwaile Krishna Veda Puran. So Kripai Kwaile Krishna Veda Puran. Very mercifully, Krishna has come as Bhagavatam himself. And more we hear the scriptures with faith and respect, then the love will awaken, both for the beautiful shlokas. One can fall in love with the shlokas and keep reciting them. One can fall in love with the spirit of the prayers offered by the great devotees. In fact, one can enter into those spirit of the Shastric Stotrams, of Gajendra prayers, or Prahalad's prayers, or Kunti Maharani's prayers, Bhishma's prayers. So by entering into the spirit of the Shastric prayers, one can forget the material world. The material world will, just like in computer, you put send to back, come to front, you put, no? So then Krishna comes to front and Maya goes to back. You can push Maya to back. And in this way, initially one will love the Shastric message, and then one will awaken deep love for the person who gives the message, seeing his love, his faith, his conviction, his devotion, his sincerity, his attraction for Krishna, his attachment for Krishna. So his madness contagiously sticks on to the hearers also. And that is called association. Association means the Krishna avesh in the speaker clings to the hearers also. So when Srila Prabhupada went to the West and preached all over the world, in one of the writings I read, his vigor is called Nityananda Avesh. So the Nityananda Avesh is actually the Krishna Avesh, the greed for attaining Krishna, which is there with the Vaishnava. That is what is the vital thing that people associate with actually. Now you may say, first we hear the message and then we love the person. But we have only seen the opposite is true. Generally people love a Vaishnava first, and they love Prasadam also first. You know, they love the Kirtans first, and then they come to the message. And that is true for most of the living beings. Most living entities, that is one reason why Vaishnava Sadachar is so much stressed. A Vaishnava etiquette is the ornament of a Vaishnava, it is said. Mahaprabhu appreciated Sanatana Goswami, you know, for exhibiting first class etiquettes, you know. The reason is, when Vaishnavas exhibit a first class etiquette, the result of that is people are surprised. When people watch, this person's behavior is not like the common public, common people's behavior. So then people's respect for the person increases. And then they develop some eagerness to know more. So then when they associate little more, the more one comes closer to a Vaishnava, the more one is opened doors to oceanic qualities of Vaishnava also, which is like opening doors to a khajana, like diamond and silver and gold and so many things. That is why in Vaishnava philosophy, it is said that familiarity breeds love. It doesn't breed contempt. If familiarity breeds contempt, that's due to material qualities. But familiarity actually breeds love. And the reason for the awakening of love is the more we see the genuine qualities of a Vaishnava, then the attraction for the Vaishnava increases. And Prabhupada's qualities were so great that the people in the West could develop, you know, tremendous attachment to Srila Prabhupada. Sayeva sadrishu kruto mokshadvaram apavritam. And that is how they started associating with Prabhupada's behavior as a devotee. They started wearing tilak, kandimala, dhoti kurta, carrying danda, they became sannyasis and followed, walked with Prabhupada, associated with Prabhupada, hankered for Prabhupada. And then, just like the example is given in Bhagavatam, how a caterpillar becomes a fly. Like a caterpillar is generally ugly and it is inside a cocoon. But then, when the caterpillar is repeatedly stung by a butterfly, and then later on the caterpillar comes out of the cocoon, it develops colorful wings. Like the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava are like that. So, in this way, somebody like Mrigari, very fallen and hard-hearted hunter, one could become a pure devotee of the Lord. The association. So, we have to associate with the bhav of the devotee. We have to associate with the seva bhav of a devotee. The seva vritti of a devotee. That is actual association. Because there is a very big difference between Vaishnava and a priestly class. The priestly class, they are considered dead, whereas the Vaishnava is considered living. Now, what is the difference between living and dead? When the stereotyped Brahmanas were watching Lord Chaitanya embracing Ramananda Rai, they were shell-shocked when they saw, here is a Dvija, Sreshta, and he is a Yati, Sannyasi, the topmost class in society. And here is our governor of Madras, who is a Shudra, who is a politician, And these two people are embracing each other and crying, that too. They were like shocked seeing that. They could not understand. When Mahaprabhu, while embracing and weeping, he looked at the Brahmanas. And Ramandra also looked at them, and then Mahaprabhu understood these fellows have some problem because they are misunderstanding. So immediately Mahaprabhu said, we will meet at another time. In the evening time you come, we will discuss more. Mahaprabhu said. So the priestly class of Brahmanas or neophyte class, like employed priest we say, no? Like the sometimes the kings used to keep somebody like a purohit, employed. So when they take remuneration, when they do, sometimes you find a posted pujari who is paid a salary. In Pune, one gentleman has a Ram Mandir who came and requested us, can from your temple some brahmacharis come and do puja in our Ram Mandir, he was asking. So recently he has been calling us, big temple, big compound, everything. I asked him, what's the problem? He said, I never posted a brahmachari. I kept a husband wife because brahmacharis should not do some wrong. So he had kept a married man. But the problem is he gets up at 8 o'clock only in the morning. And even while worshipping Ram, he put some cinema music also. So he was telling that how he changed dozens of people. It's very difficult to get good quality people. And he was glorifying Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON for teaching this kind of unalloyed devotional service. You know, not having any motivation and keeping the purity, keeping the cleanliness, keeping the standards. So he said, I have to follow up that pujari to change the dress, to, you know, sometimes there are cobwebs in the puja room, you know, inside the altar, which are not cleaned. So he's careless. So he was telling. So we can easily see what is dead, what is alive. Say, like another, I told him to remind me at 9:05. In 5 minutes, I'll finish the class. So, one another gentleman came with a group of 20-25 youths to our temple, and he saw our Radha Punja Bihari, and then he asked, these lordships look so beautiful. How many times in a year you all dress? He asked. I asked, what are you asking? We dress twice in a day, once in the morning, once in the night. He was about to faint hearing that. And then he took us to his temple where he had Radha Krishna, Lakshmana and everything. He belonged to an organization, another organization called Holy Mission. He was a leader. His name was Ram. So I also went there, we saw, and he said, we only dress on festival days like Ram Navami or Janmashtami. Other days we don't dress them. And then he asked our pujaris to come and he learned dressing and everything. So he was like a president of that Holy Mission. Now he has become an ISKCON devotee now. He is in Atlanta now, currently. He is a disciple of Radhanath Maharaj there. So, he is a Sridhar Prabhu's counselor now. So, you can see how, so what you ask him, what inspired you to come into ISKCON? He says that, I see life here. Because the lordships are worshipped, the six times offering you are doing and you are changing dress every day. So, the Vaishnava life, Srila Prabhupada taught the standards. What is the standard of pure devotional service? So, similarly, the Paramahamsa means they see the essence behind externals. Whereas the Smarthas, they see only the externals only. Like, you know, there was one man who was wearing a khadi dress. And everybody was selling at that time, hey, khadi is not available in India nowadays. At that time there was a scarcity for khadi and he was wearing khadi. So another man was wearing only pant and shirt in cotton. So this man was telling that man, see, you are a Gandhian, I am a Gandhian, but I am following Gandhi because I am wearing khadi and you are wearing pant shirt, he said. But then the other man asked, but how did you get khadi? He said, it's imported khadi. He said, I have imported this khadi dhoti, khadi kurta I am wearing. But that fellow was wearing Indian cotton shirt and Indian cotton pant. Now, who is the more of a Gandhian? Right. So we have to capture the spirit. If we don't capture the spirit, we will go by the externals. So, Atmanaha Bhakti Darpataha, it is said. Kanishtha Adhikari means, he considers himself the best devotee amongst all devotees. He considers everybody at least 1 inch below. So, because of that, type of propensity, one has a stupid vision, like a duck. A duck cannot fly. Duck only goes on the ground level only, keeps going round, round, round. But a swan can fly above. So, great devotees are called Paramahamsas. You will see, Narada was told by Prachina Parishad, nobody taught me Parodharma before. My earlier teachers were Karmakandi teachers. They cheated me. They only made me Kriya Kandesha Nishnatam. They made me a very great expert in just doing puja path. They gave me a poti, just read this poti every day, that's all. They never taught me the science of Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. They never taught me like the way you are teaching. Similarly, when Lord Chaitanya went to South India, he saw, there is one verse I came across in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nanamatta graha grastan dakshinadya janadvipan kripa arina vimuchya etan gaurashchakre sa vaishnavan. He is telling that there were many scholars and learned persons and very pious people, but they were all like big, big elephants. But they were caught by the crocodile of Mayavad philosophy, Buddhist philosophy, Nirvishesh philosophy. Mahaprabhu felt pity for them. Although they are highly qualified, but they are cheated by impersonal philosophy. So Mahaprabhu very strongly preached and cut the neck of the crocodile. All those philosophy he destroyed and turned them all into Vaishnavas when he went to South India. Similarly, somebody may get carried away by wrong teachings like Prachina Parishad or like the South Indian, many of this Brahmanas to whom Mahaprabhu preached. So it's very rare indeed that one comes across a Vaishnava devotee in life. The rarity of Vaishnava is explained in Bhagavatam itself. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayanah sudurlabha prashantatma. In how many? Kotishvapi Mahamune is one out of crores of liberated souls and perfected beings. Is one Vaishnava, it is said. So, one has to search for such a Vaishnava, and when one comes across such a Vaishnava in Guru Parampara, then his authority is considered the strongest authority, as good as hearing from Krishna, hearing in Guru Parampara like that. Of late in our society, because of some of the leaders falling down, there is faithlessness created amongst many people. But one should see those leaders who are stably situated, firmly rooted in Krishna consciousness, and not look at them with skeptical eye. Rather, learn to appreciate and congratulate their stability in Krishna consciousness, which they have showed all these years. And one has to develop a firm faith in them and follow in their footsteps very carefully, without any distraction or diversion or deviation. And by such focus only, with such a faithful hearing only, one will be able to cleanse the heart. Because actually, with a heart filled with gratitude, heart filled with faith, heart filled with enthusiasm and eagerness to learn, a heart desiring to clean, get cleaned up, and a heart which never turns to the low-class petty pleasures of the material world, with a mukta sangha, with a free from rajas and tamas, with such a heart only one has a possibility of experiencing Krishna, because Krishna will only enter a clean heart. So here, we heard how Kumar has heard from Anantashesh. Anantashesh spoke in great ecstasy, transcendental ecstasy, with semi-closed eyes. And then Kumaras, they spoke to. In fact, Kumaras came from the upper planetary systems down through the Ganga, and their whole body was wet, their clothes were wet, their hair was wet. They came and offered obeisances at the feet of Ananta, and Ananta was having eyes closed. And somebody touched his feet, immediately opened and saw, who is that? And then he saw the Kumaras, and he saw them very eager to hear Bhagavatam. Then in transcendental ecstasy, he started speaking Bhagavatam. And that's how they heard. And later on, they spoke it to Sankhyayana Muni. And then in this way, Prabhupada says the knowledge is coming in Guru Parampara through Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Garbhasad Babaji and Bhaksan Saraswati Thakur. And then the Parampara is continuing, etc. Prabhupada says, etc. means Prabhupada is also included. Srila Prabhupada ki, Bhakta Vrinda ki.